Welcome back to episode 192 of the BlockRunner podcast. Here's where we discuss the latest in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with the discussion. Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to the newsletter at theblockrunner.com. As always, you have your host William talking to your co-host Iman, interviewing Cryptochu of Ghosty Cash. Here are some of the topics they discussed today. First up, who is Cryptochu? And how did they get into the Web3 space? Next, the repercussions of Tornado Cash's shutdown. Then, what is Ghosty Cash and what does it stand for in the Web3 space? And finally, what does Cryptochu think of the future of crypto? All right, let's listen in.
Welcome back to another episode of the BlockRunner podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
Going on, dude.
On the sticks, we got TJ.
Hello.
And joining us today, we got Cryptochu. He's one of the co-founders of Ghosty Cash. Welcome.
Hi. Nice. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, guys. Man.
Nice to meet you, dude. Nice to hear from you, man. You and what your team has been cooking up has been generating a ton of buzz space, and our community has definitely let us know for a while now. And we've been doing our investigations and such because. If you've been following our progress in this space since the beginning, I mean, we were probably one of the earliest proponents of trying to find like gems through like this shitcoin rough, you know, like projects with some sort of fundamental value offering. That's what led us to find Track in its early days, right? It's like, hey, this is like a founder who's actually trying to build something, some ecosystem or some utility, some service for others in this Bitcoin space, right? So. Yeah, that turned out to be a very tremendous, valuable call for a lot of people.
For sure.
And we definitely want to continue down this line, I guess, of project discovery. See, like, you know, there's got to be some developers cooking up something of new value, right? Or in some new service. So I think a lot of people definitely put you on our radar. It's like, hey, you know that DeFi thing that turned into like a multi-$100 billion thing on Ethereum? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a chance that can happen here on Bitcoin too.
Yeah, and that's really what we focus on is we try to find like problems in the space, and then we try to find projects that are solving those problems.
Exactly. It seems easy, but for some reason hard at the same time.
Well, it's hard only because there's so much noise out there.
Yeah.
And and so it's not easy to kind of pick like actual solutions out from like all the noise. So
yeah.
So one of the biggest problems we see is like, if you're holding a token, like how do you swap it into something else where you're not necessarily exposing who you are, or you're not necessarily using an exchange, or, maybe you don't have easy access to a particular token. So like, it's a problem. So, that's why we have you on, Cryptochu. Thank you for joining us. So first question for you is, how did you get started in crypto to begin with? Were you always like following, you know, I guess action on Bitcoin, or have you have experience in the Ethereum landscape? So just kind of tell us where you come from and how'd you get involved in crypto?
Okay. I'm personally from Germany, and I'm in crypto since 2013 already.
Wow.
And I was mining Bitcoins back to these days. I mined around 55 Bitcoins, but,
wow.
I closed myself off of this because I generated a very good password.
Oh no.
And forget it.
Wow. I forgot. Oh no. So now there's, I guess 55 Bitcoin sort of like burnt out there, inaccessible.
Yeah, that's how the story began. And to be honest, I was somehow mad then on Bitcoin because this was a personal stuff, and I wanted just this to forget this, that I have 55 Bitcoins and but they are on this wallet and that's it. Yeah. So I began then 3 years. This was 3 years ago, so in 2020 around, with EVM stuff, we built smart contracts, we built some things for NFTs, NFT staking algorithms, where you were able to Put your ERC20 tokens directly with ERC721 tokens for NFTs into one pool and stake them for another token.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And yeah, and yeah, and build some different stuff. Also, NFTs. Storing NFTs or some kind of stuff. And yeah, that's how. But also then we left the EVM stuff because there's too much out there. My personal opinion is a very lot of rugs, which I personally don't like, and this is why I also became to like the BSC20 stuff. Because it wasn't possible at this moment anymore to rug people, you know. This was very positive for me and for us, and also we like anonymity, the heart of crypto, and that's why we are here now with Ghosty.
Okay, so you have a bunch of experience obviously mining Bitcoin, and so you had somewhat like exposure to like the intricacies of Bitcoin, because now with ordinals and like everything that's transpired since I guess this whole ordinals action that we've seen throughout the year, a lot of us came from Ethereum, right? Building on Ethereum with smart contracts, like you were saying. And then we came to Bitcoin to build. And all of a sudden, we're sort of learning Bitcoin all over again, but like in a technical level.
Yeah.
Right. So what was it about the Bitcoin ecosystem and ordinals that kind of brought you over here and led you to kind of create Ghosty Cash?
First of all, we wanted to create, we had this idea first that we wanted to make a swap to make the transaction for in general anonymous, but then I a guy or a friend in the meantime told me, hey, here there's BSC started, let's just have a look on it. We saw this. I liked it much. Then I created also in that time for San Diego those BRC bots.
Right.
I love NFTs. That's why. And this is how the ordinal thing began here, the ordinal journey. And we also saw this problem that there is no way to transact those ordinals instead of only on Uniswap. It was only possible on Uniswap, you know. Mm-hmm. You had to buy 1K whatever tokens for a bunch of money, and to be honest, this is not the real way you should trade. And then we created this because this was the main point, to be honest, and also we wanted to be the first ones. And also Ghosty was special because it's anonymous.
So did you so you already had this like ethos or this I guess philosophy in mind when designing Ghosty Cash? Like, you want this to be anonymous, you know, you want this to be secure and safe and such. Did through that, I guess, the design or discovery process of how do I actually execute on this vision, is that what led you to, because from our understanding, there's some sort of Monero component that enables all this, right? Did you already come pre-equipped with the knowledge of like, if we're going to build some sort of anonymous, you know, financial primitive, like this is the only way to achieve that? Or is this something you've kind of discovered along the way? It's like, you know, there's really no other way to do this.
Yeah, Ghosty was planned around, planned. We developed it around 8 months, mm-hmm. 2 months of testing. So before this, I needed to think about how to make it possible, and then discussing with devs, and then I also created the UI on Figma directly, and mm-hmm. And then this was the process how this was actually the process how Ghosty got his or its soul, you know?
So you are a UI developer. How big is the team right now?
We have three devs, three active devs. I'm personally no developer. I was once a developer, but found out that project managing is more my thing, because before I started with crypto, I was also project manager and made projects for Aldi here in Germany, or IKEA I worked with, or we were for bigger companies. And then I started to make my own stuff. And
Yeah, no, that's cool. Because your Ghosty Cache interface is pretty clean, very simple. I mean, it's pretty obvious what you do. And so basically, let's talk about Ghosty Cache. You swap tokens. And I remember reading that you leverage centralized and decentralized exchanges to be able to swap most of these tokens. So do you want to go through a little bit of what you can talk about in terms of like how you enable that and like the technology behind it, and get into about, you know, how you used Monero in a lot of these transactions?
What I don't want to say is too much about how it directly works, because I want to make it maybe a bit more ghosty, you know what I mean?
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what we are not doing is holding any kind of funds or something, we are deleting the trace with Monero for users, because Monero is not saving this directly. So what you're needing, if you would like to trace a transaction there, you would need the transaction, the receiver wallet, and the private key of this transaction.
Hmm. Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video. So do you have like a bunch of connections to exchanges where I'm able to swap a Bitcoin for like an Ordi, where you use an exchange, and then part of the transaction you're converting Bitcoin to Monero, and then Monero into Ordi. So is the Monero like a critical component to this exchange to minimize like exposure to identity, or is that like something that's a nice to have, right?
To be honest, to have a fully anonymous transaction, you need this Monero.
You need the Monero. Okay.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So, how do you manage like the users of your service? Do you provide some sort of limitation? Like, is it can anybody use it? And anyone using your interface, like, they're intending to be anonymous as well? Like, do you have any, I guess, relationships with these exchanges that you're using that limit your users or anything like that?
We have relationships, but we are not limiting any users. We are not, we shouldn't allow, we shouldn't be allowed to limit anyone, you know?
Okay.
This is the ethos also of crypto. So yeah. What we also want to achieve is, not only scammers, but I also will say something about this or whatever. Rich people just whoever wants to hide his identity because of whatever reason, should be able to do this. You know?
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, for privacy transactions, everybody should have the rights to have a private transaction. And just because you're doing a private transaction doesn't mean you're doing anything nefarious. So privacy is absolutely important. And I think it should be enabled by as many projects that want to kind of instill that ideology.
Do you think this is like some sort of its own bucket of of DeFi? Or is this actually it's like a necessary component to what true DeFi? Because we're kind of seeing like, legacy DeFi from Ethereum kind of slowly morph into CeFi. Right, I think a Uniswap has pretty much agreed at some point all of its users are going to have to KYC at some point or something like that. So is that even truly DeFi at that stage of maturation? I don't know. This is kind of like a question for the whole Web3 ecosystem to kind of, I guess, debate about. But what would you think? Would you think like a primitive like this that is much more, I guess, focused on the anonymity side of transactions and such? Is this more like a, just to kind of paint like a much broader umbrella narrative, like, yeah, GoSeeCash facilitates this side of the DeFi spectrum. But if we're going to build any other like tertiary protocols that kind of piggyback off of what GoSeeCash enables,
right,
it should also kind of like fall in line with this similar ethos, right? If you don't have anonymity as part of your protocol functionality, then you're not truly like DeFi on Bitcoin. Like, would you agree with that sentiment or not really?
I would say we have also the non-anonymous thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is why, because if someone doesn't want to be anonymous or whatever, he or she can choose this option also and just do this non-anonymous transaction also to here. But I understand you. The question was if it's DeFi or not, right?
Yeah, I guess is decentralization synonymous with anonymity? That's the real question.
I think so, because there is definitely like I guess a little bit of a confusion or an obfuscation of like purpose nowadays in Web3. Because I think we had a much more clear like aligned mission and ethos. It's like, yeah, basically we want to not do what institutional finance did to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And
create gates and you know, like barriers for people.
Right. So then like what happened to like Tornado Cash was kind of like a clear example. It's like, yeah, you could build DeFi protocols, but you know, they're still not truly, I guess.
They're censorable.
Right. I don't know. It's kind of like, it's just trying to find like an actual like alignment, I guess, in like ecosystem, like mission or something. Cause this is important in crypto, right? It's like the narrative.
Yeah.
The narrative, and how do you like inspire like a mission, like an aligned mission? Like we see this with obviously with DeFi. We see this with the reason why Bitmap is doing so well is because the whole community understands we have an aligned mission, right? So, you know, projects like yourself and others that will follow you, you kind of have this responsibility. How are you guys going to cook up this narrative, right? And especially, it's even more so important, I think, on Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has this super like maxi, ethos to it. Like we're all about decentralization, right?
Yeah, but it's also pseudonymous.
What do you mean?
Meaning you have a Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah.
And but you don't know who owns that wallet, but you can track where, you know, how you spend in that wallet.
Correct. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I guess I don't know, just to kind of peer into your mind a little bit more, just to see like what is it exactly like your ethos is. As far as like, what do you want to actually see the DeFi ecosystem on Bitcoin look like? Like, I don't know, a year from now, 2 years from now, like how do you envision it? Do you want to just be as broad and it can encompass all vectors? Or do you have like a much more stringent vision on like how DeFi and Bitcoin should operate?
It should operate as much easy as it's, as possible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If I think I send my Bitcoins first to Binance, then I exchange something with it, then I send it back. This costs me not only time, this costs me also a bunch of fees because Binance, takes a lot of fees. I wanted to be honest, also the vision is to just take this pain point, you know, just as don't have you need first KYC, then you need to say this, then they are asking you where are you getting your money from. To be honest, why they are asking this. And we wanted to take this hurdle, like Uniswap, for example. You're just swapping, and that's it.
Yeah, I think I think that's definitely a much needed like sector for sure. It's like creating as much protocol-esque functionality as possible, where there's you know, as much minimal.
Yeah, but that's what Tornado Cash did. Right? They're just a smart contract.
Yeah,
and
but we don't have smart contracts is the thing in Bitcoin yet. Oh,
right. But we're talking about Ethos here. But so they created a smart contract where they mixed a bunch of cryptocurrency together, and through that created privacy transactions. Mm-hmm. And then it was shut down by OFAC.
Yeah,
and Americans can't use it. And I think anyone who does use it, it's like deemed as like a threat, right? A national threat.
Yeah.
So
want to be on that list.
So my question to you, Iman, is right. You're talking about Uniswap. They're doing a lot of KYC stuff. Is because they're doing KYC, they're no longer decentralized?
I would think so. I would think like the. I feel like that's a clear division.
We know why projects do KYC is to abide by KYC AML practices, right? Mm-hmm. Anti-money laundering practices.
Yeah.
And is that a bad thing? Right, to do that?
Well, it depends on who your addressable market is, I guess. Like, if you're building this DeFi ecosystem with the intention of, like, at some point we want to onboard institutional capital and finance into this space, right? Like, a lot of what Ethereum DeFi Maxi said they wanted to do.
Which they have to follow AML.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, so, but if you're not advocating for that, that is not your user demographic. You're more like, yeah, we want to bank the unbanked.
Okay.
Right? Or we want to... Yeah, we want to avoid all these strictures, right? All these different requirements and such. You don't need to know who I am, right?
But
like there's a demographic for that as well.
I think part of the conversation is Tornado Cash was as decentralized as it gets, right? The only centralized thing was the interface. Mm-hmm. You can use Tornado Cash because their smart contracts are out there. You just go and interact with the smart contract. You don't need an interface.
Yeah.
But what we learned was that even though it was completely decentralized, it can still be censored, and for good reasons to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem like there's a lot that can be decentralized as you would hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you're running something like locally on your computer, kind of like BitTorrent, where you and I can share movie files with each other, nobody can stop us. You would have to shut down the internet to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're building an app that's completely decentralized, then that would be the way to do it.
Mm.
But I guess the question to you, Cryptachu, is it's like, how much do we have to kind of rely on like this whole anonymous thing where if you were trying to get like, you know, like huge adoption, like these huge institutions, if you were required to do an AML, would that be something according to your ethos that you would just completely deny is ultimate the question?
I think we would deny it.
Okay.
Because it would be against the ethos, like you're saying, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing it. And also, like I said, to make it easy for people. And what I also wanted to add, because people think then, okay, I can go to Ghosty Cash, just make a transaction, even if I'm a hacker or scammer or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you could do that, but I wouldn't advise, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, please don't be bad. But
yeah,
we can put out that PSA all day. Just unfortunate reality is people will be bad. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Give them the tools.
Because Ghosty has a mechanism to exactly see this, you know, and also to prevent such also flagging also those transactions also and pinging all liquidity providers automatically.
Yeah, that makes sense, because if you do find someone who's using your service nefariously, you know, you could pique the interest of the wrong people like OFAC, and then all of a sudden your interface has to go down, even though you might have built smart contracts that sort of circumvent a lot of functionality.
So this sounds interesting. Now we're talking ecosystem here, right? Multi-actor involvement and the maintaining of it and such, just to make sure it's secure and honest and such. We've seen this before, like ecosystems like the Graph, and there's multiple, you know, participants in this ecosystem. And in order to even do that and make sure it works and maintains this decentralized ethos and such, you need a token that has some sort of like a, I guess, logic as far as like, how do you earn this? How is your token balance slash if you misbehave and such like that? Is that like a motivation? Because we saw that you made an announcement you were at some point going to be work with Benny and Track and Tap ecosystem, which introduces more functionality to like these token designs. Are you planning on doing something like that? Like incorporate more, I guess, ways to earn, whether it's the Ghosty token or a future token, just to kind of leverage like a much more functional token base to strengthen the ecosystem.
Yeah, this is good that you're asking this, because Benny and me also talking once per week or something about this also. And what we are going to do is on our website, you can see like the total value swapped. Yeah. So how much got transferred over Ghosty already. With those, we are earning the fees, but we are... we want to give those fees also back to our users, you know. So on Tap, so you first bridge those Ghosty tokens to the Tap protocol over, and then you can stake your Ghosty tokens there, and the reward will not be like on PancakeSwap another token, no, it will be Bitcoin, wrapped Bitcoin.
That's interesting. So you're going to provide a bridge for your Ghosty Cash BRC20 to the Tap protocol. Is that the first step?
Yes, this is the first step. So going to bridge and then going to stake.
And then you would stake that, and then you would earn wrapped Bitcoin from the pool of fees. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So this mechanism is just to lock up the token. Is there some sort of a purpose to locking up a token other than just like earning the fees?
For the first, we only had this idea, to be honest. Only the staking. Also, what we are also going to have for the Ghosty token itself I don't want to spoil it, but we're also going to have a lottery for Ghosty.
Okay.
It's ready itself. It's built for BRC20. Then we also going to have utility NFTs on Tap directly. Okay. So we'll be able, for example, to put those Ghosty tokens with your NFTs together to get high rewards, because those NFTs will be able to boost your rewards.
Interesting. Yeah, that's why I like the Tap protocol a lot, because it's a proof of like showcase that there are developers like Ghosty Cash, and we're using the Tap protocol for completely separate reasons, right? Your focus is more like DeFi and swapping, whereas it's more like metaverse and non-arbitrary tokens. But we're both using the Tap protocol, so there's proof that there needs to be some functionality,
correct?
And developers who want to build on top of Bitcoin.
Yeah. So the Tap thesis, I guess, is kind of proving itself.
It's working.
Yeah. How did you come to discovering, like, is it kind of like how you discovered, you know, yeah, I need Monero to make these anonymous? It's like, okay, I need Tap if I'm gonna create anything of I guess true value.
Yeah. Why Tap?
Did you organically stumble onto that realization, or did the community, which is very strong for the Tap ecosystem, kind of pull you in? How did that come about?
Yeah, it was more that Benny called me.
Damn. That's cool.
I like that, to be honest, because it's cool to know each other and so on. And I like him a lot, to be honest. And
do you guys have a prior relationship? Like, did you guys knew each other before? Or, like, how did that work?
Okay. No, we didn't know each other, to be honest. Okay. I heard the first time about Benny that he's doing a Tab. A while we talked, it was then clear what is Tab doing for me and for the community. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, okay, because BRC20 itself is limited, you know, and I can deploy, mint, and transfer.
Yeah.
But on Tap is more possible, and this is was very interesting for me, and to be honest, I'm very thankful for that, because it opens so much doors, you know, so much functionalities for not only Ghosty, for all devs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we feel the same for sure.
Yeah, totally agree.
It's definitely good to hear also Benny, I guess, so what's the word? Like
open to a new.
Well, it's like he knows what he needs to do, dude. It's like, yeah, he's building the functional, I guess, arm of this whole like Bitcoin meta protocol space. And he's like, but he's out there actively finding,
yeah,
you know, who should be utilizing this.
Yeah.
And like putting in the extra effort to like educate, you know, these different founders and to, of course, you know, integrate into the ecosystem. Like that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite, it's yeah, exactly. quite impressive.
Exactly. And also talked about, because we also wanted to bring also more liquidity into TAP, you know, also on BS20, this was the first, but then on TAP.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is very important.
That is very important.
To onboard, to onboard people, to onboard new people.
Yeah.
Who are exploring BSC or BTC stuff again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I think this at this point, it will get really, really interesting.
Have you deployed anything yet, or are you still like just in like design mode as far as like, you know, like a bridge that's functional to TAP yet? Have you tested anything?
Not yet, to be honest. But Benny and me will do this together.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be very interesting. Something we would definitely like to cover, because, you know, we're kind of like transitioning ourselves as a channel. Because we don't just make content, right? But this is definitely a large part of our lives, is trying to follow like where the innovation takes us. And right now we're definitely kind of exhausted and a little bit bored with like the shitcoin mania that we've kind of witnessed over the last year. I mean, it's great and everything. We're like, man, we really want to see something new.
Yeah, some substance. That's what the channel's about, substance.
Correct. So like it's taking us to like Stacks and Alex Labs.
Yeah.
Right, because that's the only thing we've seen on the horizon as far as like there's a potential for DeFi there, right?
Yeah.
And then we've been kind of like using their tools, and it hasn't been like the most pleasant experience so far. But we were saying it, like we're having these offline conversations. We're like, there's like a 90% chance that like all of DeFi on Bitcoin is probably going to be on Stacks.
Yeah.
And Alex Labs is going to facilitate a lot of it, just because they've been working on this stuff for years. But there's like a 10% chance that it's going to come from like this organic,
yeah,
these organic developers such as yourself and Benny, who are building these competitive ecosystems, really. Like what you're describing is you're going to be able to bridge, you're competing for liquidity in the space. And it's either going to be bridged to TAP or it's going to be bridged to Stacks in the future.
That's true.
Right? It's going to be up to you guys to develop these technical primitives, right? So.
Yeah,
I'm kind of already seeing it.
Yeah, DeFi on Bitcoin is going to be a significant component to this 2024 year. I mean,
yeah,
very significant.
Yeah,
just because if you go and measure the differences between DeFi and Ethereum and Bitcoin, I mean, it's like the widest gap that you can imagine.
Yeah, it's literally, I think we did this analysis a week ago or something. It's like a 27% ratio.
Yeah,
DeFi like market cap value to Ethereum market cap value.
Yeah.
And on Bitcoin, it's literally pretty much zero.
Practically zero, yeah.
So if you assume in the future that 27% ratio kind of translates over to Bitcoin, and then like a future valuation where Bitcoin's worth, I don't know, $1 trillion, $2 trillion, like we're talking about a 500 billion roughly,
yeah,
like market potential. Like for if DeFi. You're building in this DeFi space, like that's, and we're starting at zero like today.
Yeah.
So that is quite the gap to fill, right? And so we're on like full-blown investigator mode. Like who is actually working on this? Because if you're not, like for one, you're fucking up.
Yeah. And if you're not looking for these solutions, you're messing up too.
Correct. So yeah, I mean, very bullish on this thesis overall. I guess, so you guys are definitely on track. You're working with the right dev for
no
sure.
No pun intended.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we also partner with them, so really happy to be honest with them.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other so you guys are doing swapping? Are there any other like DeFi products or focuses that you're maybe not in the short term, but like in the long term, you want to kind of, you know, like lending and such? Is that on your radar?
yeah, we are working on such stuff. We also are already looking into the solution solving of paying directly with credit card.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that introduces some centralized component, right? Because credit cards, they have like a name, and so that anonymous aspect of it like goes away. Is that like considered? Is that something that you guys want to support as well?
Yeah, this is, but to be honest, the first step we want to just support this, you know, credit card payment, but there is a way to to make it more or less anonymous, but we have to be honest, we'll figure out how to do this exactly. But the plan is first to release a system where you're able to buy, for example, BSC20s directly with your credit card.
Wow. Yeah, that's that. Cool. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be extremely important because a lot of the liquidity out there is on credit cards.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
yeah, let's tap into the institutional like lending protocols.
Yeah.
The banks.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring that capital over and then, yeah, deploy it into our new protocols to generate new yield instruments. And
magic
such.
Internet money.
That's actually like a wealth transfer that they were talking about.
It is.
It's actually, we're just taking all the capital from the banks. And just, right. But yeah, that is, so yeah, you're definitely, you're definitely like outlining a, like a precedent of just, you're really trying to find the pain points, like you said, to this ecosystem and deliver some sort of service and utility, I guess, for as much of like a mass user base as possible, right? Like that is your strategy, it sounds like. You want
exactly.
a lot of users, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to be honest, it's we all need a lot of users.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was just telling Iman, it's like it's crazy that we can have like 2,000 holders of a crypto, a BRC20, and it's like worth $100 million
yeah.
with 2,000 holders. Like it's something weird is happening.
It's the market, dude. The market likes this stuff. That's it's
so.
Clearly an exuberant market, right? Where you don't necessarily need like millions of token holders and like you have like a $1 billion thing.
Yeah.
That's what you would expect, right? But that's not necessarily the case, right?
Yeah.
Because yeah, everything that's happening on and that's a call to again, like developers and ecosystem creators is like it really doesn't take too much to kind of like deploy something of substance on Bitcoin and generate that much of a market appreciation.
Yeah.
Right. It's much more challenging on other chains just because they're more exhausted.
Yeah. That's what know? I was going to say. I think it's because it's new.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so people just kind of flock to it just because it's new and it's like,
yeah, it's there's just fucking kinetic energy about, right? Not so much like looming like, this again.
Yeah. Another ERC20.
Another monkey picture. Ugh. Like that's how it is on the other chains, right? But on a Bitcoin, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
What am I seeing? This is fucking magnificent. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It is pretty cool. It's cool to see.
So I'm curious. We did this thing called non-arbitrary tokens, and you are a swapping protocol, right? So I'm curious, like, what's the mechanism that you guys have to support in order to support, like, a new chain or a new protocol? Like, what's the effort behind all that? Do you have to, like, talk to the founders? Or, like, how does that work?
Do you mean of listing new tokens or
yeah, let's say I have an NAT, right? Let's say I have, you know, so our the protocol that we came up with generated these non-arbitrary tokens, and the first one we released was called, the ticker was called NAT, non-arbitrary token, and each NAT is worth like 350 million units, right? So it has like a non-arbitrary market or non-arbitrary supply and all that stuff. So I'm curious, is like if I wanted to swap, you know, 350 million of these, like for an ORTI or for an ETH, like how what would it take on your side in order to accomplish that, right?
If we would like to let's say we would like or we would integrate then the NAT token, we would need a liquidity pool for that.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So So like how much money are we talking about to support this liquidity pool? Like what does it take? Like, give me the details.
You just need for the token a pool, and then we can swap it on Ghosty.
Okay. So who supplies the liquidity for the swapping?
Liquidity providers from us.
Okay.
Sexus, Dexus, whatever. Yeah, and then we are able to do with Ghosty, or the algorithm can then exchange those tokens directly with each other. So even if you're not able to trade, let's say Audi to Net,
yeah.
In this case, Ghosty enables that.
Okay. I'm trying to think through. So I go to your interface and I have 350 million of these units. I want to convert it to Ethereum, which I think is like a complex flow of transactions, right?
Exactly.
So yep. Would there have to be multiple liquidity pools here, or are we leveraging like exchanges to enable this? Like, talk me through a user experience for something like this.
Yeah. To make it easy, we have to do this in the background of Ghosty. We have to enable this. Three algorithms, like I said, which is taking from here the Ethereum, transferring it there, and so on. You know,
okay.
So it's not like easy. Just here you have your Ethereum and just exchange it. No, it's a more complex thing. How are we doing this? And this is also the thing why I actually don't want to say how it does work. I would just hear it to keep a bit in the business secret.
Okay.
I guess what
I'm trying to figure out is like. You know, we have this new protocol, right? It's not being traded because we're waiting for Jubilee update and all these details, for example. And I'm just curious, like, do you look for trading activity for a particular new protocol? Do you look for, traction before you support it on Ghosty Cash? Like, what is it that, let's say you're talking to the founders of this thing. It's like, what is it that you need to tell founders? It's like you need to get your token to like 10 million in market cap or 10 million in trading fees, or like what is it that you tell them before you can support it on Ghosty Cash?
I'm asking them first of all, this is a good point of having a stable a price, you know, of having a good community, of having minimum but we are looking then into that, how stable also the market cap is, or does it jump from 1 million to 500K, then next day 200K, and so on, you know?
Sure.
And then we are saying, okay, is it actually on a DEX? Because we need liquidity providers for that. Is it on a DEX or on a SEX, you know?
Okay.
And then we can list it there.
Yeah, and part of the question is, you know, I'm trying to figure out like what the limitations are, and I see on your interface that you support Tron, a blockchain, obviously Ethereum, and like you support all these like different blockchains. It's like, give me a limitation of something that you can't like swap today, and like, what is it that I can't do? Is it like completely cross chain swapping, or is it just what are the limitations?
The limitations, to be honest, Ghosty doesn't really have limitations. It's
interesting. Okay, so it takes some traction, take community, takes a certain level of confidence for you guys to support any new new generation, whether it's a blockchain, whether it's a new protocol or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So that means that you guys essentially support all like the major blockchains, but if something new comes up, you're essentially kind of wait and see to see what level of traction they get. Then your business model is to take 0.5 4% of transactions. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you're going to use that 0.4% to not only just like fund development and all that, but it, part of that is going to be towards the liquidity staking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Part of that, exactly. Part of this also goes towards the staking goes for RapidCoin.
So those liquidity providers, do they provide liquidity? Do they get like an equivalent token, just like you would expect, like on Uniswap?
You mean like the cake, for example, on the pancake? For this, for example, we would need first to bridge those bitcoins we generate into the TAP protocol, because we need to tokenize it first. Because the TAP tokens, the TAP protocol makes this multi airdrop possibly, no?
Okay,
correct, yeah.
Oh, so are we looking at a potential TBTC here, like TAP Bitcoin?
I think, to be honest, I don't know the actual name, how Benny would call it, but the Rap Bitcoin, which is for everyone a name. So I call it myself Rap Bitcoin.
I see. Okay, so that's interesting. So are you guys going to enable anybody to provide liquidity, like anyone who has like funds, they can say, hey, I like this, like, I like these two token pairs. I'm going to supply this liquidity because I think there's going to be action here. Is that possible?
You mean for the staking?
Yes.
No, this would be possible. Yeah. Okay. This could be possible.
Okay.
Wow. So at some point, once all this is kind of like ironed out and deployed, and you guys have secured like market dominance in this in this position that you're building, would you think maybe now like the strategy would be to kind of, okay, now like this model works and we have the beginnings of DeFi, and how about now we're going to just kind of like lift up the skirt and open source all this, kind of like, you know, and then let's kickstart like a vampire mania like we saw in Ethereum. Now you're going to have forks and clones.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like create a mania after that. Like that's kind of like what Web3 is all about, right? Somebody comes up with a good innovation, and then we have all the vampires come in and try and siphon network effect, and then you have like craziness ensues.
Yeah, this is the point. If we look on Ethereum or whatever, this is why I also said, because of those new EVM chains, I saw many rugs. I saw literally hundreds of rugs, and they were forks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's true.
Most of them were forks.
Yeah.
Because the devs just built in something which allowed them to pull the whole liquidity of the whole DEX and just go to the Bahamas, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The Bahamas has a really bad rap these days. that's where they all mean.
Yeah.
And to be honest, and that's why right now, in the state of how I see Ghostsea, I don't want to open source it because of this is one of the main reasons. Not only because the I needed also to pay also a lot of money for the devs, because I didn't code it by myself. So I funded everything by myself, and this is one of the reasons why I don't want to support the direct, here's my code, do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting like new take on this. Yeah, I was thinking more of like, it would add just more like fuel, I guess, to like, because you know how the space is, first is like always usually typically most valuable.
Yeah.
First of any kind. So even though you have hundreds of forks, it's like, yeah, but Ghostsea was the first, like it all started there. So therefore, you know,
that's where they the innovation, are king.
Yeah, right.
Just that's like where Uniswap. The value is, yeah.
But you're right. Now you're taking more of like a almost like humanities approach. It's like you're just trying to limit the amount of potential fallout, repercussions.
Even Uniswap did this, right? They had like a terms of service like update, remember?
Oh man, I remember something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they sort of prevented like forks from happening from Uniswap because of all these like shit coin, like pizza swaps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So they even, you know, they
took some measures.
They took some measures to prevent that for good reason too, for like security purposes and
yeah,
like just to prevent people from getting.
So what's the likelihood? So I guess it's okay. Like no matter what, if you guys keep all this secret and ghosty, and some other developer just kind of like somehow figures out how to reverse engineer your process and deploys their own variant, and then they open source it and it becomes the catalyst for rugs. That's fine. You at least you could live. I don't know about fine, but you could sleep sound at night knowing you weren't responsible for that. Yeah. Right. That's kind of like your position.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Because I would don't want really just to say, hey, I built this, but then someone else took my code and built another rug, you know, mm-hmm. from another rug and so on.
You must have got seriously rugged in the past.
I personally not really got rugged, but a lot of friends got rugged. Also, a very good friend got rugged. I don't know. The last time he got rugged for $15,000, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, because the whole open source thing is like, so many people are huge proponents of it. I guess maybe like, you know, for AI and such, it's a big deal now because like any developer, you know, remove control from, you know, centralized entities like, you know, Microsoft shouldn't have all this power and control over open AI. Yeah. Right. We should give these tools to all developers. But then everybody's like, well, then you're opening up the variable possibility of somebody creating AGI in their fucking basement, you know? So, this is definitely a contentious position, right? Like, do we open everything or is walled garden sometimes a good thing, you know?
Also the fact that Microsoft owns GitHub, you know, they're also owning everything.
They own everything.
Oh, well, that's like all of tech. Yeah. It's all consolidating into the hand, you know, just a handful of companies, and it's going to get even worse into the future, right? So, I mean, that is kind of like the responsibility in a sense. So like everybody building in this Web3 community, I guess we're kind of like supposed to be like the shining beacon of how not to do that.
Yeah.
How can we build like real ecosystems of value and not like end up like that?
It's funny because that's the point of crypto, is like how not to do these things.
Yeah.
But then you come to crypto and like 99% is all like scams.
Oh no, dude.
You know, it's like the hell.
Well, it's because it's a double-edged sword. It's like, we take the control out of the hands of a central company that is heavily regulated, and if they do like scam the public, they're gonna take massive repercussions. They're all doxxed.
Yeah,
if, you know, human beings on the planet, they don't know, you know. And then there's, we have this other side where it's like anything goes, really.
Yeah,
right. So there's definitely like a balance that needs to be, I guess, discovered, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so. I guess I'm curious, like, what are the next steps for Ghosty Cash? Like, where are you guys like headed towards in terms of like new developments, new product roadmaps? Like, what's next for you guys?
So the next thing is to release first our lottery, directly on BSC20. Then in January we are starting slowly with the TAP integration. So first I will need to talk to Benny also to because we will need the bridge for it, and then the Ghosty staking, and also those utility NFTs.
Utility NFTs. Ooh. Are you guys also waiting for a Jubilee update like we are?
Yeah.
It's good to know we're not the only ones. It's good to know.
Yeah, we get that question all the time. It's like,
yeah, what's taking you guys so long?
Yeah.
I was like, well, dude, I mean, it's not our decision.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
It does. Yeah, because that functionality is like part of the update. So you kind of you have to wait for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So we talked about a lot of the forward facing stuff that's like kind of in development and all that stuff. I guess what gets you excited the most about what's happening on Bitcoin, and, you know, like what's the difference building on Bitcoin versus building on any other chain?
Yeah, because Bitcoin is my first love, you know. That's why.
Sure. Yeah.
Like all the way back to 2013. You've been in a 10-year relationship with Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Ups and downs.
So many downs.
A lot of ups now.
Some ups.
Yeah. We're really up though, dude. We're on the way.
That's true. Yeah, 2013. That's when Bitcoin was like somewhere between 100 and 400 bucks.
Yeah, exactly. It was how much was it? Around 180, I think.
180. Wow. Yeah.
You had 55 of them, huh?
Yeah, this was.
Sorry, I didn't mean to rub it in.
Small.
You know what's crazy is that we can think of like a year on Bitcoin, and then we can just recall a price just right out of the thin air.
Yeah,
that's weird, right?
Yeah, it's squiggly lines, dude. They come in handy. They come in handy. They keep track of everything. You can mentally
download it.
Fall back. Yeah, I still remember when I bought my first Bitcoin in 2014. Yeah, it was like about $300 roughly, 280 something like that for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember that fondly because I didn't buy more. Right. I should have been buying like with my life.
Yeah.
I did not. Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting. Somehow we've all returned home.
Yeah.
Because I made that purchase in 2014, but didn't come back till 2017. Found interest in this space. Yeah. But all the interest to me was in Ethereum, right? Because that was the interesting part of crypto, right? Fucking shitcoins were happening on Ethereum, you know. Ideas behind kind of like OC Cash, the idea of DeFi was kind of like being incepted around like 2017 DAO. Era. Yeah, the idea of DAOs.
For some reason, you like DAOs a lot. I always found that weird.
I mean, you'll understand why in the future, dude. once the world is governed by AI DAOs and such, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's why. DAOs are important. You know? But yeah, it's just, we've been, that's what led us to start this channel. And we followed the progress of Ethereum and its L2 growth for 4 years, basically. And then little did we know, it's like now the innovation is kind of like spawning from Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's weird. We liked Ethereum a lot because of the innovation, and we like Bitcoin now because of the innovation.
Yeah. And I think at some point, everybody's going to come to that realization, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to take, you know, no pressure. It's going to take devs like yourself, Ghosty, Cryptochew, to actually like execute and deliver on these, because this is a big vision. This is a big task. You know, we've talked to a lot of other founders who also have big visions and big tasks, and some of them have completely crumbled. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, we know who you're talking about.
Yeah, like they had tremendous visions and they came on this channel, but like, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, we know as project founders ourselves how hard it is.
Yeah, there's forces outside of like just crypto itself that make things like building stuff very difficult.
Like humans.
Yeah, humans. Yeah.
The most powerful force when it comes to like execution is like humans, right?
Yeah. Their brains are like faulty, dude.
Something's going on in the air. But yeah, all the encouragement for sure for builders like you and others, right? Is you're like we said earlier, you're on the right track. Yeah. So yeah, we're in full support for sure.
Yeah, we definitely like connecting with builders because we see a side that almost everybody doesn't see, like the difficulty in just building this stuff. And like the...
Yeah, it's true.
All the compromises that we have to make in terms of like building something, because we can't build something like to our vision because there's technical hindrances, right? So it makes it tough to realize a vision because you have to play within the realms of like actual physics, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we really appreciate everything that you're doing. We got a few more minutes left, Cryptochew. Is there any like last thoughts, any final words that you want to mention that we didn't cover in this podcast?
Any Bitcoin price predictions for 2024?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, a lot of USD. To be honest, I really hope that that Bitcoin gets its ETF finally.
Yeah.
Approved.
Yeah. What's like, you said you're in Germany. What is the ethos in cryptocurrency? Like does Germany like crypto because in America, they don't like cryptocurrency over here.
Yeah.
Uh huh. It's very neutral. I would say the opinion about crypto is getting better and better because, yeah, people first also said all the time at the beginning, okay, Bitcoin. Yeah, I heard about that, but it's a hacker currency, like the typical stuff, you know, that because they heard that in news or something. But people are not against it here.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the institutions are not against it. What I like personally on here in Germany is that we have, like, if you hold your crypto 1 year, you're not allowed to do anything during this time. But generally, if you hold it 1 year, it's tax free.
Wow,
free, dude,
tax free.
We need to adopt that.
God,
on our way, dude.
What the hell? I guess we're gonna be going to Germany then, and living there.
Yeah,
German
dude.
Citizens.
Fuck yeah, dude. I like it. Yeah, see,
why Bitcoin bull run? I believe it's worth to just buy Bitcoin and chill, you know.
Yeah,
that's advice.
I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, for real. That is a good strategy.
It's been like the best. I think.
It's been the best. Yeah, just buy and hold at least for a year. I mean,
yeah, forever, for the rest of your life. Buy and chill, dude. It's simple. You don't have to deal with all the stress of.
Dude, we're gonna come out with that shirt. Buy and chill.
Buy and chill. It's easy, dude.
All right, Cryptatru, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. We definitely would like to have you come back on to talk about further updates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, we really appreciate kind of connecting with builders because there's so many things that are happening that we can kind of figure out and work together on a bunch of stuff. I mean, on a business level, there's a couple of things that we can do to get your Ghosty Cash deployable in the metaverse. And so, I mean, that'll be like a crazy little device.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that we can kind of collaborate on too. But a lot of stuff needs to be developed to enable that. So, but anyway, I appreciate your time and, you know, looking forward to further updates. And, like I said, you're welcome back on this podcast at any moment.
Thanks a lot. I'm really thankful, to be honest, also that you guys had also time for us. And yeah.
All right. Yeah. And Happy New Year. So
yeah, to you also. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think 2024 is going to be one of the most interesting years in crypto that we've ever seen. So
yeah,
a lot of good is probably ahead of us and
a lot of entertainment.
A lot of entertainment. Yeah.
It's coming.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for watching as well. And we appreciate you, and we will catch you in the next podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the BlockRunner podcast. Make sure you visit our website, theblockrunner.com, and sign up to stay up to date on the latest in crypto. Also, reach out to us on Twitter @theblockrunner.